morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the program. So, looking at the situation in Qatar right now, could you perhaps give us, fill us in a little bit just what has led up to this diplomatic split?
I think, look, the real catalyst for this, I think most of us believe that was President Trump's trip to the Middle East. He had a long trip to Saudi Arabia. And this thing happened pretty much, you know, on the back of that. So, and President Trump claimed in one of his tweets that he was, you know, he was influential in getting the Middle Eastern countries to do this to Qatar. I think there's a little bit of finger pointing going here that Qatar is the principal source of funding for Sunni jihadist groups like the ISIS. And I think this is, you know, this is probably due to intense American pressure on Saudi Arabia and the others.
Now, what kind of issues can actually potentially arise here for Qatar, given the given the cutting off of access that we've seen?
Well, the main problem, as I see it, is going to be, Qatar's participation, if I want to use that word, in the war against ISIS. Don't forget that there are American bases in Qatar. There's a Turkish military base in Qatar, and a lot of the fight or a lot of the bombing that is going on against ISIS is out of those air bases that are actually in Qatar. So diplomatic ties cut off between Qatar and the Saudis and others, a deep freeze in relations between Qatar and the United States. This might have adverse effects on how the war in Syria unfolds now. So that could be one thing. The other thing is, of course, you know, there's going to be problems within Qatar in terms of food, in terms of having, you know, basic amenities, water and stuff like that. There are also expatriate communities in Qatar who are feeling a little bit sort of caught in this. I know that there's a large Indian community in Qatar, and the Indian government is now trying to see if they need to be evacuated out because they are sort of, you know, in limbo in Qatar right now. So the situation is quite fluid, I think. There's going to be probably, you know, some kind of food relief coming from Iran and elsewhere because of the flight ban, you know, the flight path ban. It's taking longer for people to reach Qatar because they have to fly a different route. So some of those things, I think, are beginning to happen now.
What can Qatar actually do to, I guess, satisfy the UAE that they are not supporting terrorism, that they don't deserve to be beholden to this kind of ban, and actually get back on good diplomatic footing with these countries?
Well, that's the funny thing, because, you know, in the international press yesterday and day before yesterday, I think the consensus was that, we are making an example out of Qatar in terms of terrorist funding when the real funder, Saudi Arabia, basically goes home scot-free. It has been widely known for a long time that the principal source of funding, the principal ideological, you know, incubator of this kind of, you know, Salafi jihadi terrorism that you're seeing is out of Saudi Arabia. Qatar definitely played a role, and equally many other Gulf countries played a role in funding various kinds of, you know, of fundamentalist organization or Islamist organization. So by no means I think Qatar is the only country where fingers should be pointed. There are many other countries where you could say probably played an even bigger role. Pakistan, for example, you know, nobody's talking about Pakistan. Nobody's talking about Saudi Arabia. Nobody's talking about the fact that, you know, Turkey now is very much a fundamentalist country. And a lot of the fighters who came to fight for ISIS from overseas came through Turkey. So none of those things are being discussed at all.
And just perhaps as a final point there, Rajat, obviously you mentioned Saudi Arabia there, and there's been quite a bit of controversy surrounding that visit by Donald Trump regarding the deal, the weapons deal that he did with Saudi Arabia. Why is it Qatar has been so harshly treated, in a sense, while Saudi Arabia is essentially keeping up these quite fantastic diplomatic relations?
Well, that's the most fantastic thing about it, because, you know, when President Trump came into office, I mean, he came into office giving people the impression that, you know, he's not going to play the usual politics. And the usual politics, obviously, in the Middle East is that, you know, the Americans would bow down to the Saudis because of oil and because of, you know, military contracts and defense contracts and all the rest of it. And Trump, if you remember, was very critical of Obama when Obama visited Saudi Arabia, and he was seen in a photograph sort of, you know, bowing down to the Saudi royalty. And Trump did exactly the same when he went to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, you have to ask, you know, whether he really meant what he said. You know, has he properly understood the significance of, you know, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Turkey behind, you know, this kind of terrorism? I mean, he's been talking about Iran, but, you know, those who know the region know that, you know, Iran's sponsorship of really hardcore Salafi jihadi groups is almost non-existent. Mm-hmm. I mean, what Iran supports is surely the Hezbollah in Lebanon. I mean, no denying that. You know, there's support for the Houthi rebels in Yemen. There is also some support for groups in Israeli occupied Palestine and so on, such as Hamas. But I mean, the kind of terrorism that we are dealing with, you know, which is basically, you know, a very radical brand of Salafi Wahhabi ideology, you know, behind it. This definitely is not coming out of Iran, or it's not coming out of Lebanon or Yemen. It's coming out of Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and to some extent Turkey now. So unless Trump has got it totally wrong, or unless he's been totally swayed by America's, you know, defense ties with the Saudis, because, I mean, these are billion-dollar contracts we're talking about. These are jobs for Americans. You know, that's the other thing that Trump has talked about, that he's going to create jobs for Americans. Well, there's going to be jobs in the defense sector. So the Saudis have a lot of money. They can buy American weapons. My impression is that America definitely is looking at the wrong horse in some senses, or they are not looking at the right place. You know, I mean, I'm not saying Qatar doesn't sponsor to some extent these groups, but so does many other Gulf countries. They need to come under the scanner. You know, the role of Saudis and Pakistan and Turkey needs to come under the scanner.
Well, Rajat, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your insight into this one. Appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one this morning.
No, my pleasure.